structure of this budget. Do I understand your, is that where you are?
Well, this is a low level of housing starts. The forecast, especially when this forecast was made, it probably was lower than, I would guess, than most others.
What are the housing starts for 1980?
They're going to be about 1.3 in that area.
1.3, and they're continuing to decline, aren't they?
Well, they probably will go down now in the first quarter. They should, based on interest rates.
Specifically on housing starts, there was a national conference of home builders or something that was reported in the Wall Street Journal. Dorothy, the secretary, brought it to me. It was interesting because it showed they estimate a 1.4 to 1.5 million housing starts.
But the only problem with that is the new administration is attacking, if they're going to get the accumulation of wealth, they're saying that the priority in housing is going to be downgraded because the number one priority should be in some type of creation of wealth, taxing policies that reinvest in retooling American industry, and that housing has been disproportionately treated in the past. And I presume you're aware of that, and the fact that there's every indication that there's some degree that they're going to carry this out, and yet you still feel your housing prediction is going to be up there. Is that right?
Well, I think on the housing, I think one place probably where we're fairly safe grounds, because again, to repeat, when we made the forecast originally, it was considerably below any consensus estimate, and I think probably, if anything, we're still slightly below any consensus estimate, for whatever that's worth. I think it's quite a conservative expectation, this level of housing stuff.
Yes. Mr. Smith, getting back to your, you're telling us that the revenue that raising measures that you've included will balance the budget. In other words, the $241 million. Do you really believe that today, after you've made that recommendation? Do you really believe that if we were to subscribe the tax increases that you've suggested, that we will balance this budget?
Yes, sir.
Correct. Well, and you still stand by that?
Yes, sir.
Predicated on what you've given us today. You included a tax cut. Even though the tax cut might be deferred, that would have a bearing on it, wouldn't it?
Not enough to avoid balancing the budget. We can control expenditures incrementally within the administration, as you know. And the $5 million, what is it, $8 million you have in there for a federal tax cut out of $3 billion is not enough. $8 million per year, $16 million.
That's a direct effect.
I just tell you, without belaboring, there's other people who ask questions. I don't share that optimistic view. I think there's some ingredients in your property tax relief program that leave us somewhat concerned about what your dollar figure produces percentage-wise on the 30% formula. The tax cut, another ingredient. The ingredient of the effect of the minimum wage, particularly on the human resource budget, we've had estimates that that's from $9 to $10 million off. I have a whole series of things I won't belabor here, but I think I've totaled up something in excess of $42 million that we don't know how you're going to balance your budget with, and I'll be glad to share those with you future. But I think what is so perplexing here is that when we operate on these unknown quantities, I don't think there's much different in the way we've gone about our budgetary process in the past. I think the fact that we have better predictions is probably, we probably are getting more data to reflect where we're going. But we have a downturn in the economy. We've never had double-digit inflation like we've had before, and to cope with it with a $5 million reserve and suggest that we can do it in a two-year period, I think it's suicidal. And I've got to tell you, I strongly think that we're in a death trap if we try to appropriate this type of budgetary process in this type of economy. And I think that some I know are upset about talking about having to come back here a year from now, but I think we'll be here whether we want to or not for that very reason. Thank you, Mr. Chairman.
Senator Monroe.
When you do your forecasting, thinking ahead, you always have kind of the rose-colored expectation and the most dismal expectation, you know, and there's a range of expectations. For example, you can look at some of the various factors, tax cut, spending cut on the federal level, interest rates, employment, and so on. And you can kind of, in your mind, or, you know, and probably down on paper too, you kind of have a range there. And normally when forecasting for budgetary purposes, you tend to want to be below, on the lower half of that range anyway, so it's, you know, not to overestimate. Isn't that reasonably correct?
No, I don't think I'd say that. I think, frankly, one makes the best estimate one can.
Okay, so you look at all the possibilities, and you try and make your best estimate as to what's going to happen, and you try to hit it right on. You don't try and lowball it a little bit or anything like that. Okay. Now, in your estimation, under the best of reasonable circumstances with existing revenue sources, not counting the tax increases that the governor has asked us to pass on, but with existing revenue sources, under the best reasonable best circumstances, is there any possibility that they could generate enough money to fund existing programs at existing levels?
I would tend to doubt it.
Okay.
I mean, I don't think so.
I don't think so either. So that leads me to my next question. There are those on the other side of this building who seem to believe that we ought to delay any discussion of any tax increases until we have the final figures, so that we will know how much money we need to raise, or so that we won't pass tax increases and raise too much money, more than we really need, or something of that nature, or for some other reasons. It appears to me that we ought to be considering revenue-producing measures now, any reasonable revenue-producing measures, and that even if we get a more optimistic forecast in March or in June, that we will not be sitting on an extra large pile of money, that we'll be simply talking about funding a higher level of lowered expectations compared to present programs and present funding levels. In other words, under the best circumstances, with the most revenue-producing measures that we could get passed through both houses and approved by the governor, that we're still talking about lower funding levels than present for basic and for human services and for the other major costs of government. Isn't that correct?
That's correct. Again, put numbers on it. We've got 10% program cut already budgeted.
I understand that.
And that takes $250 million new tax increase to only cut it that
and
much.
And if we don't produce those additional revenues, then maybe we're talking about a 20% cut.
Absolutely.
And if we do produce those revenues, and even if your projections are a little conservative, which it looks like, and I tend to agree with Senator Day, that's probably not true. It'll probably go the other way.
That's right.
But even assuming that they are a little bit conservative, we're still not going to have enough money, even with the governor's funding increases, we're still not going to have enough money to fund existing programs at existing levels. Okay. Thank you.
I take and just a shot at how this committee is planning on proceeding. I take your word that the March estimate is going to be a genuine effort to look at our current circumstances, at current trends with this administration, and to look at the assumptions that have been made, take that at its face value, and this committee will proceed in March after that estimate to look at the various revenue proposals in detail, and not wait for your June announcement, simply from the standpoint of, although I agree it's nice to wait, I look for not a great deal of change in that estimate. And secondly, I think we could logically argue it'd be nice just to wait till August. And so we will begin work on that side of it in March, simply to look at options, because to balance a budget predicated on raising at least $241 million when you might not be able to raise $241 million is something different than assuming you can. And we're going to look at those assumptions and start making people ask themselves whether or not they're going to support some tax increases. And that will be in March, and we will then be able to adjust with your June estimate as well.
Mr. Chairman, I'm awfully happy personally to hear you say that. After the last few days, I'm wondering what was going on.
Yeah.
These dates have been, as I mentioned earlier, have been agreed upon after consultation with legislators.
I think, and my concern was that the March estimate was going to be a mini review of where we're at with the current estimate. And that's why I asked the question. You're going to look at the assumptions. You're going to look at as much data as you can possibly get your hands on. You're going to come in with a full-fledged estimate in March, just like you did in May in 79, and say, this is really where we think we're going to be. And because of that, and I think there was some misunderstanding around the legislature in that thinking that first estimate was going to be something less.
Our greatest fear is that, as I mentioned, we can give a revenue estimate every month, and legitimately it will be different every month, and this causes more confusion. So it's going to be different in some respects, probably, and then 3 months later it's going to be different again.
Mm-hmm. Senator Troll, and then
Senator. I'm wondering, with regard to the tax increase measures, would it be possible to make any kind of promise that these would be temporary tax increases just for this biennium alone?
The governor's recommendations are on the two income tax matters is very definitely temporary. The abandonment of some of the for a two-year period, the abandonment of some of the tax credits is for 2 years. Others are permanent. So it
we
is.
We could go ahead and exempt the personal or index personal exemption another 2 years. You think
that is specifically one of those where he said it is a deferral that is recommended for 2 years.
Are you basing that assumption then that these are temporary increases, at least some of them, for this biennium? Basing that on the assumption that what we have is basically a problem for this biennium, that maybe we'll be able to afford our commitments in the next biennium?
That should be reviewed 2 years from now. We hope so. Been hit with a double whammy, in effect, on the revenue side, both in the yield and the elasticity as we've gone up in our existing things, and by this very sharp downturn. Eventually, unless the United States, in the next few decades ceases to exist, eventually we're going to get, now this state has been going for 2 years on a downturn. Every time you see us, we don't have any good news to tell you, do we? Sooner or later, employment is going to start to come back up unless we keep right on going, in which case it's another story entirely. Sooner or later, it's going to start to come back up. We think that it is going to start to come back up in this next biennium, and we are forecasting will get better.
Can you help us? Because I think as we as legislators think about what we need to do for this biennium, we're trying to think of whether we can temporize and keep existing programs in shape and maybe reduce them slightly because of the budgetary crunch, but keep things going, or whether we have to really cut programs and diminish services simply because in the long run we're not going to be able to afford them. In other words, are we overcommitted now, and was perhaps the commitment to property tax relief the thing that broke the back in terms of where we are? Can you answer the response?
Well, I think that reasonable people will differ on property tax relief, whether that was, and there was no single factor.
Okay. Whatever we did in terms
that
of
did it.
Increasing our commitments last biennium.
Yeah, we increased them last biennium. The federals stopped the general revenue sharing. We all in one biennium with a combination of factors lost $50 million just on a refinement of our yield process. We went through a $150 million during each year recession where it's money gone out of the, we've used up the last of our one shot, it has been a very interesting 2 years, to say the least.
I think the philosophy in the governor's budget is to attempt to raise revenue, some of it temporary, with the idea not of eliminating programs, but preserving what we have. Okay, now what we need to know is that the kind of message you want the legislature also to follow for this biennium? Because it looks like maybe we'll be out of the woods in the next one, so we don't need to really...
Yes, sir. I think that is the message that is included in the balance that is represented in the governor's recommendations, and we hope after your due considerations that same basic balance is continued. The programs in this state, by and large, are very worthwhile. They have been cut back to some extent, selectively, based upon the judgments of priority among them. We hope that same process will go through the tax increases.
What if the tax increases don't pass? Then what? What's your advice?
I don't think there's much choice. I don't think there's much choice. You'll have to cut back general fund expenditures because the money just isn't there.
I think
that's not our recommendation, needless to say, and that recommendation stands, that those taxes should be raised to maintain that reduced level of program.
But getting out of the woods, even if things turn up in the next biennium or two, does not mean necessarily dropping some of those revenue-raising concepts, simply because if we follow the governor's recommendation this time, we're dropping some $87 million behind in basic school support loans in today's dollars. And in other areas, I'm sure if the state employees follow the dream of 6% and 6%, that in future biennia, they'll want to make some of that up. That getting out of the woods from this spell will take more than one good year in the economy, more than probably several good years in the economy, so that we're not talking about something that's real brief, but hopefully what we do here will not create antagonisms that will cause us harm forever. That's, I think, the main trap that we stand to step into, is by our actions causing a reaction that will in fact limit our ability in the future to deal with these kinds of problems. Because if the budget had grown at 10-year average, we wouldn't be in this shape, would we?
If the budget, you mean the revenue side.
If the revenue side had continued as it has in the past 10 years?
Well, in the absence of some other influence, such as the Measure 6 or whatever.
Yes, sir.
Yeah. No.
So that, in effect, had that continued, we would have not have overcommitted ourselves.
No.
The budget would have been balanced based on our estimates, and we would have been where we've been in previous sessions, embarrassed by a surplus. However, we took care of that, and if it was too great, it would automatically have been returned.
Okay. Senator Day.
Chairman, I think the chairman is quite correct. He tells you that very uncomfortable just waiting for something to be served up. And, I realize you haven't been down here, but we have been talking this way the day we walked in this committee. I think that's one thing. The other thing I'd share with Senator Trill and others, I don't believe it was a mistake to go property tax relief the way we did. Local government, I think, would be a lot more world of hurt if we didn't have that program and the certain basic school support was done at basic school support. I think what troubles me is those could be the last two budgets out of Ways and Means. And if they are, I think it's going to be much more difficult to determine the method of financing and taxation for that reason. If indeed the cuts they're talking about down there at this time, and I read their documents, it looks to me like basic school is going to cut even further property tax relief by 10-12%. If that's the case, the chance of raising revenue, I think, is most remote in this legislature. Most remote. And I think that the governor's office and the executive department would start to look at some serious priorities on how you're going to deal with that, because in that is the case, I think you're going to find very difficult to try to patch that through. I think that those two, that answer and the decision is made on those two budgets first, an opportunity then to determine what revenue is needed that we have hurt so deeply that we have to strive to. Because if we do that method in order to balance the budget, you're looking at something in excess of 18 to 20% cut in the remainder of the general fund budgets. I think we have to ascertain where that fits in. But if you try to do it the reverse way, and I think that's exactly the standpoint they're headed on, the ways and means, I think you might as well forget a tax increase of 1 cent.
I don't think it matters which budget you bring out last. If it's done that way, we're going to end up in the same predicament, because you're going to get people who then oppose the way the money's been designed to be spent, along with those who are going to vote no regardless of how it's spent, and you're not going to have 31 and 16. And that's why, from the first day, as Senator Day pointed out, we've been talking about that in this committee and have not been in agreement with the policy to hold back revenue discussions until we know how and where it's going to be spent, because I think it's extremely dangerous. And it means that we'll be talking to you sometime in late August, and you'll have a lot of time to give us revenue estimates.
I don't know. Maybe we ought to adjourn, go home, and come back when they get ready for us, you know?
No, I don't think so.
Okay.
We're ready for you, Mr. Chairman. We were ready on opening day as best as we could.
I guess what I'm saying is the executive department, the governor, have the obligation to start articulating it, and I haven't seen that yet.
And we'll give them a forum.
Yeah, we'll give them a forum. Come on down and talk to us.
Okay. Are there other questions of Mr. Smith or Mr. Eggers? We would ask you to come to our committee before you go to Ways and Means, if you want, with your revenue estimate. The minute you get it, if you would give our staff a call, even if it's a Saturday, maybe we could have a meeting. And we'll take it the minute you're ready to give it.
I think I'll defer to the presiding officers on you.
I think I would if I were you, but someone's got the mixed emotion. They got money to spend down there, and they're short a few bucks.
Well, Mr. Chairman, the statute requires, for those statutorily required revenue forecasts in the executive department, that we report to Ways and Means.
I'm not saying don't report to them. I just didn't see a statutory prohibition against coming to this committee first, or to the House Revenue Committee, which may be more appropriate.
And there's no provision preventing you and the governor articulating your concerns on how this ought to be handled. I think you ought to go back and search your soul. Thank you.
Any other questions? Senator McFarland?
Yes. Mr. Smith, I want to make sure that I heard what I think I heard. Whenever you were asked if we articulated this budget, this revenue and expenditure, in exactly the manner that it's laid out here, you believe it would be balanced right now?
Yes, ma'am.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman.
There are other questions? Being none, thank you very much, and let us know as soon as...
Thank you, Mr. Chairman.
As soon as your constitutional duty will let you.
Okay, anything else we need to do? Okay, we will meet tomorrow for consideration hearings and administrative bills, or bills for an act, at 1:30.
I don't believe it.
Mr. Chairman.
Yes, sir.